Welcome to the Washington State Hiking Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Twing Flaming. Along with my part-time co-host, guidebook author Craig Romano, we provide practical and timely seasonal hiking advice for hikers, trail runners, and potential hikers and trail runners of all skill and ability levels that is helpful, accurate, fun, and inclusive. We would love to hear from you, our listeners. The second link in the show notes, right below the tip jar, hint, hint, is our voice memo link. Please leave us a voice memo with your question, and we will answer it in a future episode.
Okay, Craig, today we're talking about the Skagit Valley, which is where you live.
Yeah, I know a little bit about the Skagit Valley.
Yeah, and, you know, we're right here at the beginning of tulip time. So a lot of people are visiting the Skagit Valley. Maybe this is the only time they go all year. So if somebody wants to follow my favorite tip about tulips, which is to go in the evening when there's daylight, avoid the crowds. What would be some good hikes to explore that are kind of near, or that are in the Skagit Valley or near it?
A lot of great hikes in the Skagit Valley. First of all, just getting back on the tulip blossom, of course, the festival starts April 1st, but, and as we're having this cold period right now, doesn't mean the tulips are going to show up on April 1st. So
that's true.
So you may want to, I think we're going to have a later bloom this year because of the cold, so we might be looking at more the middle of April going into May. With that said, towards the end, a lot of people might not be aware that things are still blooming, so you might do well holding off a few weeks.
Yes.
Too.
Yep.
So if you get to the Skagit Valley and it's absolutely crazy because everyone wants to see those transplanted flowers, maybe we'll send you to some place where you can see some natural flowers. There are actually some wonderful, wonderful hikes in the valley. And one of the ones right next to the tulip fields is Padilla Bay, or Padilla Bay. Padilla Bay is how it's pretty much pronounced in the area. This is in a national estuary research preserve. There's like 23 of those across the country. This is the only one in this area. So it protects a large bay with eelgrass, where brants, Jenny, you know a little about brants for Alaska. They're up there
yeah.
in the summertime.
Yep.
They come down here in the wintertime.
Yep.
And a lot of those tulip farmers, the Dutch that settled in the area, they diked a lot of the original flats, Skagit Flats there. So this hike follows one of those dikes. So it's perfectly flat. You can bike it. You can get a wheelchair on it, you know, jogging stroller. It's just a couple miles long. It's really nice when it's sunny out, which is actually quite frequent in the Skagit Valley because it's a rain shadow. Not only do you see Mount Baker hovering about, but you can actually see Mount Rainier, the way things are positioned all the way to the south. It's really nice. And then this is kind of tough. It's a great area for birds, dunlins, and a lot of, there might be still some hanging out before they've gone back, but it's a great place. If you do come up early, in March or so, you're going to have a lot of good chances of seeing some birds out there. So this is a great walk just to, you know, very, very close by. Anybody can do it easy. So I would definitely suggest that if you've never been.
Yeah. I love Padilla Bay too. It's nice too, because you could go, I believe it's about 2 miles long
from end to end, but
you could walk on it for a quarter of a mile and come back if you wanted to do something really short. I also really like going there with my dog because he is a little challenging to hike with because he's kind of squirrely and wild. But what's really nice about Padilla Bay is you can see people coming a long way off, so I can move over, you know, it's a dike, so you can't really move off the trail, but, you know, I can kind of distract him and move over to let someone pass, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's a dike, it's wide, but there's also benches and areas that you can pull off and take a break, so it's not like you're really constricted in this area.
Yeah.
There's farmland on one side, which is private, so you can't, and then the bay is on the other side. Then you follow along a slough, Indian slough, and there's an old like barn warehouse on the water that's been photographed a bazillion times, and you'll make it a bazillion one when you go by it.
Yeah.
It's
very picturesque.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But great place. So definitely there. But you know, if you really want to get away, matter of fact, one of my favorite areas in the Skagit Valley, and it's becoming even better and better every year. And still a lot of people on the outside aren't aware of it. And probably a lot of my friends in Skagit are like, no, Craig, don't tell people about it. But no, it's is the Northern State Recreation Area, which is in Cedar Woolley. And this is part of the old, it was the Washington, Western Washington Mental Health Hospital for a long time. So the buildings are incredible. The Olmsted brothers, the very famous landscaping firm, you know, Central Park and so many Seattle's jewel parks, and they designed this. Actually, when we think of these old mental health hospitals, think of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or something, these awful things that happen. But this is actually, they were pretty progressive at the time that a lot of the patients worked on the farm. They grew their, you know, grew their own food and cows and all that. So it was almost like a college campus the way it was set up. So when it was closed in the 70s, the farm part, a lot of it became a county park. And for so long, it kind of just was there, nothing done. But recently, with the Skagit Trail Builders and other organizations, they've been really extending the trail system there. And there's a couple of new loops. And there's several miles of trails there. I just ran a trail run race there about a month ago. So people are really discovering it. Cool. And yet, it's never crowded. There's a lot of places to go. You can hike through some mature forest, through some of the old buildings, barns. And unfortunately, a lot of them are falling apart. I wish they'd preserve some of them. But there's wetlands, there's restored wetlands in the area, there's creeks, there's good views of the surrounding Cascade foothills. Great if you want to get away from the crowds on the flats, just head over to Cedar Woolley. And Cedar Woolley, if you haven't been there in a while, is really changing. I mean, Starbucks opened up there not too long ago. So.
Whoa. That kind of blew my mind.
It's not... You know, it's not the old logging town that you may remember from way back, but it's changing. It's got a neat little downtown, and there's some cool little restaurants there too. So it's a great place that, again, that's going to be away from the crowds from Mount Vernon and LeConnor, especially LeConnor.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Any others for
lots.
Gadget?
Lots of places. and I'll make my shameless plug here. All these places I'm talking about are all in my Urban Trails Bellingham book, which covers the Skagit Valley. So these are all trails that you can do year-round. They're very close to Mount Vernon.
Yep.
So another place I enjoy, again, 20 years ago, I remember visiting this place before I lived in the area and thought, God, there's so much potential, but there's nothing here. It's just a road to the top. Now there's over 10 miles of trails, Little Mountain. Which is right.
Oh, cool.
Which is part of it's Mount Vernon's largest park. I think it's about 800 acres and 10 miles of trails. It's popular for mountain biking, trail running, hiking. And there's two viewpoints on the top. And one is a great view to the north of Mount Baker.
And
cool. And the other view, it's growing in. So I keep hoping these windstorms are going to blow some trees down. But of the flats, you can look out of the flats. So you do this in the evening, you can see the tulip colors out in the distance, and then great sunsets. You can see out to the Olympics. Wonderful. So that's a great place if you want a little bit more of a workout. Little Mountain, Washington Park over in Anacortes is another great place that has several miles of trails. A lot of people, the road's really popular. You can walk the road. They close the traffic at certain parts of the day, but there's all these interior trails. There's coastal, close to walking can do. Kicket Island, which is over by near Fildago Island, fascinating place. It's part of the Deception Pass State Park, but it was the first place in Washington that was jointly managed by Washington State Parks and a tribe. And this is with the Swinomish people, because it's very, very, it's part of their traditional lands, and it's very, very sacred to them. And it has a fascinating history since then, when settlement came and everything. Interesting that in the 1970s, it was proposed to be a nuclear, they were going to build a nuclear power plant on it.
I didn't know that.
This was all during the whole whoops debacle, and when everyone was going nuclear in the 70s when it wasn't sustainable economically and everything. That almost became a nuclear power plant. And then in more modern times, there was a person that had built their house there. They did a movie or a TV, the famous Dog Whisperer, you know, that was involved in one of those romance gone wrong type of thing, and a murder involved and everything. So it was bad, but when the tribe was able to finally got rights back to the property and everything, they raised that house. The house is gone now. I it's amazing because I remember seeing the house, and you go back now, you'd never know.
I've only been there since it's been gone.
So you won't even know it was there. But there's native prairie on the island too, so you'll see a lot of some of the native plants that are growing there, the flowering plants. There's middens. It's a fascinating. It's only about a 1 mile hike to get out there. Parking is very, very limited, so you want to do it There's no dogs allowed here also. Yep. And you want to get there really early in the morning or late in the evening, but put that on your list. Wonderful place.
Yeah, I totally agree about that. And they have really good, the tribe has put really, really helpful, interesting interpretive signs about how the land is used by indigenous people, both past and present. And yeah, when I went there for the first time a couple years ago, I feel like I learned a lot just about, I thought I already knew a lot about what people ate traditionally in that area, but I still learned a lot, and it's a really wonderful place to go.
Yeah, it's amazing too when you see what a lot of the First Nations, First Peoples did as far as food sources and everything, and you wonder, why did we ever get rid of this stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing. Why did we bring cattle to the Great Plains when we had bison?
Yeah.
What's neat about this joint management with Washington State Parks and the tribe is that this is great. It's about time because we're light years behind Canada. In British Columbia, there's so much of this. And,
yeah.
and the tribes are having so much more say in the management of the land and in interpretation. And this is really important as a historian. You know, a lot of the stories are told by the settlers and not by the people who were displaced.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, one of my favorite Chinese proverbs is that there's three truths, yours, mine, and the. So it's good to see the three truths.
Yeah. But,
you know, hearing the different stories being interpreted here, you know, through the tribes and through the traditional land. So this is great, whether, you know, talking about the food, the way of, you know, the living, and just how the interactions between cultures, when cultures collided, how that land. So this is great. I'm glad this happened. I would like to see more of this in Washington. I think there's a lot of opportunities here.
Me too.
I commend the state on this one. And it was a pretty penny buying this property too when it went up for sale. It was not cheap.
Yeah. I will also mention that you do need a Discover Pass there. I think that's the only trail we've talked about in this episode that requires a pass.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you will need that.
It's totally worth it, but just make sure you have it.
And if you do have that Discover Pass too, of course, it's going to get you into Deception Pass State Park, which is how is it being managed. Don't even think about driving out to Deception Pass during the Tulip Festival because
it's a little crazy.
Because Highway 20 is going to be like I-5 in Seattle.
Be prepared if you haven't been up there before or it's been a while, that the traffic in Skagit County is a little bananas.
Yeah, pack your patience. A lot of us who live in the valley, we leave during that time.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But no, it's great. I mean, it brings in a lot of money to the county. It kind of takes a lot of pride in it. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. There are local nights for people like me that we can go out on our own. But again, if you're coming in from Seattle or Vancouver, BC, we got a lot of Canadians to come down to. Weekends are going to be crazy. So if you can come down on a weekday, that's definitely a plus. And the other thing, and it seems obvious, but I have to emphasize this. The flats are not public property. The farms are not private. There's unbelievably incredibly boorish behavior that takes place with trespassing and people picnicking and leaving their litter. I know you guys, I'm preaching to the choir, you're all good. But if you see people doing it, it's just, again, this has a negative effect on everyone. And also decides whether some of these farms even want to open their property for people to come. So enjoy it. It's absolutely beautiful, but pay attention to the rules. Most of the farms that have this, there are fees to park there and go through their property and see things. So be prepared for that.
And that's a great way to support your local farmers. So
absolutely.
You know, it's not super expensive. So just pay your fee and get in there and follow the signs.
It costs money to cultivate, to maintain, like anything, and the fees are very, very reasonable. And it's one of the reasons too why the Skagit Valley is still the Skagit Valley and not, say, Marysville or the Kent Valley that has been developed. One of the things, being a Skagit County resident, we're very, very serious about our agricultural back, and we want to keep it that way, and we've decided that this is really important to us.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about the Skagit Valley. Hi, everyone. Jenny here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast so far. Just wanted to let you know about our SpeakPipe, which is our voice memo recording.
Craig and I would love to hear your questions and comments so that we can answer your questions and talk about your comments in a future episode. So please go to the link in the show notes. It's right below the tip jar. And go in there and click on that, and then you can record a message and we'll get it and we'll answer it in the future. Thanks for being part of the podcast. Back to the show.
All right, we're back. So Craig and I are talking about hikes in the Skagit Valley, since the Skagit Valley is super popular these days because it's tulip time in April. And so one of the things that we want to share along with hikes is some kind of cool local businesses to check out. And I will tell you that in the Skagit Valley in April, every restaurant is going to be kind of slammed. So just know that they're still awesome, but they might be a little busy and a little frantic and possibly a little harried. So these are also great. All of these hikes and places are also good suggestions for a lot of the year. So yeah, keep that in mind. Okay, so Craig, any favorite spots close to home that you'd recommend people check out?
So one of the great, we do have some wonderful restaurants, and you know, it's awful because I go to a lot of these and I don't pay attention to, a lot of the brew pubs, the names, like, oh, this is a good one, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But one of the places, if you haven't been to our co-op, it's renowned, and believe me, let me get this right, we're 50 years old celebrating.
Oh, wow, does that sound cool. Right? It does, I mean, yeah, that sounds very believable.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right. Wonderful. I mean, you know, co-ops, obviously you can buy your grocery damage, but they have a great deli, wonderful ice cream. So it's always
I didn't know about the ice cream.
And I know so many people from Seattle, it's almost like a must stop when they're in there.
Yeah.
It's downtown. It can be absolutely crazy trying to park to get there, but it's worth, and there's some wonderful restaurants downtown in that area too. Some great Mexican restaurants and some brew pubs. So without calling any of the other ones out, you definitely, you know, want to check those out. It's good. We have a really, really good Italian restaurant too. It's El Granaio. Il Granaio. It's a northern Italian fare. You know, most people are more used to have southern Italian. That's in the old granary. So that's a great place.
Okay, and that's saying a lot, because if you don't know, Craig is Italian. So he's saying it's a good Italian restaurant. I'm adding that to my to-do list the next time I'm there.
Okay. And yeah, and if you're going to go downtown and check out, you know, have lunch or dinner at these places, you're probably going to, like, speaking of Italian, after we eat in Italian culture, you do a passeggiata after, where you go for a walk.
Yeah.
So one of the best places to do a passeggiata in Mount Vernon is our River Walk, and this is wonderful, and this is a great, you know, when I moved to Mount Vernon, about 17 years ago, it was a big controversy. Well, not, it was a lot of money there. We're gonna develop the river. We have this beautiful riverfront. Let's do something good with it. Get rid of the old revetment there, the parking, and so it became part of a flood wall that they worked. That has actually saved the downtown now twice since I've been there. So that was, we got our money's worth back there. But we actually have this beautiful river walk now.
Cool.
So it's great. There's sculptures along the way. You can do that. And weekends and summers, there's usually farmers markets and fair. We do a lot of civic events there. There's always something happening there. So you can definitely walk along there. It connects to Lions Park, which is some big cottonwoods. You can go around a few warehouses and continue along. You can get a couple miles. So that's a great place for an evening walk or early morning walk, or just a walk period.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. The one place that I love to go to up there that you didn't mention that I wanted to also call out is the Terramar Brewery and Distillery that's in Bow.
I've not been there.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, Bow is teeny, teeny tiny, and very, 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 very busy in April. But it's really great. So they have a distillery and a brewery. So if you're into that kind of thing, it's great for that. But also, they have really good pizza there. They have, like, wood-fired pizza. Mm. And they always have some kind of sort of creative, weird pizza on special. So if you're the kind of person that loves weird pizzas, I'm actually not. I like kind of the classics.
It's a travesty for many of us Italians. We're like, no. You don't put that on a pizza.
Yeah, but, like potatoes. Yeah, you don't
we put call potato. That California pizza.
Yes, yes. But if you're into that kind of thing, then you would love Terramar. And even though it's a brewery, distillery, they have different spaces and some of them are all ages, so it's not like you can't, like, there are always kids there, so, you know, that's always an option too. So that's not in Mount Vernon, but it's close by, and that's a favorite of mine. I also what do you think about the Shrimp Shack, Craig? It's banana. It's not even worth talking about in April because it's so crazy, but that place that has it's kind of a sit outside kind of roadside place by Deception Pass.
I know the place. I've passed it a bazillion times.
Yeah.
I have not been in there. Maybe because it's always been so busy.
It's always super busy. But I just have, last fall, I went there after driving past it for a few decades and being like, sometime I should stop there. And it was great, but it's just going to be so busy that I don't know that I can really recommend it, especially in April. But it was good for a roadside outdoor fried seafood situation. Yeah,
that's good. With that suggestion, I'm gonna have to try it. It's funny because it's one of those places too. I've driven by it so many times and I have not tried it yet. And I'm always amazed too, you know, when you finally go, why didn't I go to this place, you know, all this time? But we do have a pretty good restaurant and brew pub, you know, scene in the Skagit Valley. So and it's gotten better. And the same thing too. Excellent Mexican restaurants too, all levels. You know, your basic Mexican fare to some more fusion stuff. You know, you can find.
Yep.
So definitely sample some of those too. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Anything else we should talk about with Skagit Valley before we sign off today?
Yeah. The other thing I want to say is too. This might sound kind of crazy coming from Skagit Valley resident, but if the Tulip Festival is a little too much and you like tulips and everything, Chilliwack in BC.
Yeah.
Which incidentally, a lot of people don't know this, that Chilliwack is actually a sister city of Mount Vernon.
Yes. Chilliwack is cool. And they have a Tulip Festival also,
Settled, the same thing, you know, a lot of it along the Fraser River and on the Chilliwack River, a lot of the flats, it was diked. There were Dutch, waves of Dutch that settled in that area too. So they don't have as big of a festival there, but there's definitely tulips that grow there. There's wonderful hikes in that area too, same dike hikes and small foothill hikes and everything like that. And what I love about British Columbia in general too is the Asian food scene is just spectacular there.
So good.
It doesn't have to be in Vancouver, it's anywhere, so you always have that bonus out there too.
Cool. All right.